Hello and welcome to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. A Community Benefits Ordinance, or CBO. It would require developers who get public support, like tax breaks, for their projects to provide certain benefits to the community. Jobs, affordable housing, environmental protections. Detroit's Proposal A, known as the People's CBO, came from a grassroots push from a petition drive. It calls for developers to provide community benefits if their projects have a public and or private investment of more than $15 million, or if they're getting a tax break from the city of at least $300,000. Proposal B was put forth by Detroit City Councilman Scott Benson. It would require developers to provide community benefits for projects worth at least $75 million or tax breaks of at least $1 million. Prop A would bar the council and other city officials from having direct involvement in choosing the community representatives for the neighborhood advisory groups, the people who would negotiate with the developers. And residents could pursue legal action if deals are not upheld. Among opponents of Proposal A is my next guest, Mike Jackson, Executive Secretary Treasurer for the Michigan Regional Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. He backs Proposal B. Mike, welcome.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Tell us, first of all, why you are opposed to Proposal A.
You know, at first glance, you know, a Proposal A is, in our opinion, going to block development. The biggest community benefit that you get out of these developments are jobs. That's first and foremost. And without the development, you have no jobs. So there's always a balance between community benefits and then exactly how much you ask for before the developer decides to move somewhere else. We think that Proposal A goes way too far. We support community benefits agreements. That's why we're supporting Proposal B. We just feel you have to strike that right balance to make sure that the developments continue to come to the city of Detroit.
And when you say go too far, Mike, in what way?
Number one, it removes the mayor and the city council from the process. It's, you know, specifically says that they're not allowed to engage until after the community groups are finished. You know, if you don't have a understanding of the development community, odds are you're not going to be at the table understanding why it is they can or can't do what they're offering to do or saying they can't do. You know, one of the roles we've played for years in Detroit, we've been headquartered here for just about 20 years, is we also invest pension money into certain developments. The job of our real estate experts is to remove any of the unknowns. This proposal puts so many unknowns on the table. They don't have any time limits as to how long it can take. They don't have any limits on what they can ask for. And again, they keep the city council and mayor out of the process. And quite frankly, we feel they've been doing a very good job continuing to bring development to Detroit.
And what is it particularly about Proposal B that you feel merits your support?
Well, again, Proposal B keeps the mayor and city council in the process. They keep the community involvement. You know, the neighborhood advisory council that is working with the arena project right now is going to recommend who will be on it. Detroit City Council and the City of Detroit Planning Committee are involved. So they keep the community involvement, but they also keep the mayor and city council involved. Plus, you know, they do raise the bar as far as the size of the development before it triggers. And that's very important, too, because most developers that are on that lower end where Proposal A does catch them, they have a lot smaller margin, if you will. They have a lot smaller room for error.
Mm-hmm.
Oftentimes, when they talk about these proposals, they want to talk about what the city of Detroit is giving in tax abatements, you know, or tax credits to get the development, but they aren't considering the risk that the developer himself is bringing to the table. If he's risking $5 million or $10 million, whether it's his own money or money that he's financed, you know, sometimes these are make it or break it decisions on if he's going to do it in the city of Detroit or if he's going to push off to the suburbs.
Mike, the people pushing for Proposal A, such as former Representative Rashida Tlaib, have said they want a stronger voice in developments, in the tax breaks developers get. Let's take a quick listen to Rashida Tlaib.
We have no say about our public health, around noise barriers, around, you know, issues around our quality of life, you know, blight in the community.
How does Proposal B guarantee that residents get a seat at the table so they can have that voice?
Yeah, and first off, you know, I strongly disagree with what she just said, just right at the basic root of it. To say you have no say, your city council and your mayor are elected. And what Proposal A does is remove them from the process and put it in the hands of a non-elected citizens group. So the majority of the citizens of Detroit are better represented by not using Proposal 8 because they had the opportunity to elect the people that are making those decisions. Whereas in Rashida's world, you know, there's this small group of citizens that weren't even elected that are going to be making those decisions. So you've just taken it out of the hands of one group, giving it to another. That doesn't necessarily make it more representative. You know, Proposal B specifically says who will be appointing these city residents to the board, and they will have a say. So it isn't that these developments don't have community benefits right now, you know, because the city council and mayor have negotiated certain community benefits with these developments. And they've put penalties in, as you've seen on some of the articles that have been out there. So I'd have to say I disagree with that statement.
You've just kind of indicated, and we've heard those of you, all the other unions and those who are opposed to Proposal A, kind of say despite the economic boom in downtown and midtown and other areas of Detroit, developers, their fear is developers would abandon Detroit. Why would they do that, Mike, when the city's arguably in a renaissance and we see investors from all over the world eyeing Detroit really for the first time in decades?
Again, we work with the developing community all the time. And, you know, there's a project right now. A lot of times we get approached if there's a hole in funding. You know, a developer has so much money, he's willing to go to the bank for so much. It might be a HUD development, so they have so much money. And then there's this hole in equity. The bank is saying, listen, you need to come up with $3 million more before we're willing to put our money into this. Or HUD is saying, you have to have this much equity in it before we're going to sign on to this project. You add this extra layer of, hey, there's this group of people that before we can even talk to the city about a tax abatement, you're going to have to sit down with. They have no development experience. People will take a look at that and go, look, I have options. Most developers have options. They can go over 8 Mile. They can shoot off to the suburbs. I think it's a real concern. The developers that we've spoke to have said that, look, if we have to jump through those hoops, we can look elsewhere. There's no community benefits ordinance that we're aware of in the United States that is this restrictive. So people have options when they're spending their money. And again, we want to see the community be treated well. We want to see reasonable community benefits when these developers come into town. But there has to be a balance or they have options to go elsewhere.
What do you say to the Detroiters, many feeling that they have been left by the side of the road for decades by big business and a government that perhaps doesn't have their best interest in mind, that going for Proposal B with the smaller benefits is better for them than Proposal A with the larger benefits. What do you say to those voters?
You know, we went through a huge recession, so there wasn't any growth going on in Detroit for many years. And then now that it has started up, we've put a lot of Detroit City residents back to work just through our organization alone, let alone the combined building trades. There's been a lot of factory jobs that have come back. Manufacturing, we haven't seen manufacturing come back into Detroit in a very long time. If you put something in place that actually stops the development, there is no community benefit. There is zero community benefit if the developer doesn't come. You know, you can ask for anything. You know, you could say at the table, listen, you guys got to build us a water park or we're not going to give approval for you to move forward for your tax abatements. That developer is going to leave. So you have to make sure there's a balance, that you understand the needs of the developers in order to bring them so they bring the jobs with them. That would be what I would say, is that, look, if the developer doesn't come, there is no community benefit. The reason that Detroit has suffered as much as it has is nobody was coming here. You know, nobody was building manufacturing facilities. Nobody was building arenas or hotels or housing. And all of that is back today, even without an ordinance. And there are a lot of benefits coming to the community because of that development today. So if we're going to do an ordinance and we're going to say it's law, you better make sure that there's a good balance that continues the growth, that those developers say, you know, I can live with those terms. Let's continue to come to Detroit.
Both of Detroit's newspapers, in weighing in on the benefits proposals, the Free Press editorial board said vote no on both. They said Detroiters deserve better than either one. The Detroit News editorial said, well, we don't like B very much, but it's better than A. It seems to be certainly damned with faint praise from the news and the Free Press saying don't vote for either one. What did you think when that came out?
Quite frankly, some of the unions are split in the same way. Some of the unions are saying vote no on both for their own reasons. Some are supporting B like we are. There's a feeling that there is this resurgence in Detroit right now and that the city council and mayor have done a very good job. And they have negotiated community benefits with these developers. Some people might not think that they negotiated enough, but you have to put yourself in their shoes, right? And see, maybe they understood that if they went much farther, they wouldn't get anything. So the people that are saying no to both are saying, look, we're in this resurgence. Why would we do anything that would get in the way? And then there's those of us who, I mean, in our hearts, we believe in community benefits. We think that Detroit has suffered long enough, and we should get all we can while this development goes on for the citizens of Detroit. The question is, do you ask for too much and the development stops? So I understand why people are saying no to both. We're still supporting B.
Mike Jackson is the Executive Secretary Treasurer for the Michigan Regional Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Mike, thank you for being with us on Stateside.
Thank you.